Chapter 9. When No Means Yes. As Angel entered the farmhouse at Talbotays, the clock sounded 3. He knew this was the time the milk was skimmed, and soon he heard the sound of a soft foot on the stairs. It was Tess coming down after her afternoon sleep. She walked into the kitchen, yawning, her arm held above her head. Then she jumped.
"Oh, Mr. Clare, how you frightened me!"
"Dear, darling Tessie," he whispered, putting his arms round her. "Don't call me Mr. anymore. I hurried back because of you." For a moment, he could feel her excited heart. Then she pulled herself away from him.
"I have to go and skim the milk," she said.
"Then I will help you." The Talbotays milk was probably not well skimmed that day, for Tess and Angel were both in a dream. When she had finished, he pulled her against himself once more. "I want to ask you something important," he said, "which I've been thinking about since that day in the field. I shall soon want to marry, and being a farmer will need a wife who understands farming. Will you be that woman, Tessie?" She suddenly looked tired. Then she dropped her head and with a voice full of pain said,
"Oh, Mr. Clare, I cannot be your wife. I cannot be."
Tess's decision seemed to break her heart.
"But Tess," he said, amazed at her reply and holding her even closer, "do you say no? Surely you love me. Or do you love someone else?" "No, no! I don't want to marry," she cried. "I have not thought of doing it. I only want to love you."
"But why?"
"Your father is a parson, and your mother wouldn't want you to marry a woman like me. She will want you to marry a lady."
"That is rubbish," he told her. "I have spoken to them both. That was why I went home. But I will give you more time. I won't talk about it again for a little while." Although Angel had not expected Tess to refuse, it would not stop him from asking her again. He could see that she loved him and wanted him to love her, and that was enough to encourage him.
"Tess, why did you say no?" he asked her after a few days.
"Because I am not good enough for you."
"How? Not lady enough?"
"Yes, something like that," she replied.
"Your friends would laugh at me."
"You are wrong." He held her fingers in his. "Now, you don't mean it, do you?" She could only shake her head and look away from him.
"Then I ought not to hold you in this way. Why do you reject me?"
"I don't reject you. I like you to tell me you love me."
"But you will not accept me as your husband," he said.
"It is for your own good. I don't want to give myself the greatest happiness by promising to be yours in that way, because I am sure I ought not to do it. But you will make me happy."
"Oh, you think so, but you don't know."
After this meeting, she went away to her room. The fight between her head and heart was so terrible. Her own feelings were so strongly on the side of his, two great loving hearts against one poor conscience.
"Why doesn't somebody tell him about my past?" she said to herself. "Alec d'Urberville only lives 40 miles away. Why hasn't my story reached here?"
Yet nobody seemed to know, and nobody told him.
September came, and the weather stayed warm. One morning, Tess and Angel were alone in the dairy, making cheese. Tess's arms, deep in the milk, were bare. Suddenly, Angel leaned down and kissed the inside of her arm. She looked up at him with loving eyes. "Do you know why I did that, Tess?" he said.
"Because you love me very much."
"Yes, and because I must ask you again."
"Not again, please."
And her face was full of a sudden fear that this time she might not be able to say no. "Oh, Tess," he went on, "why don't you like the idea of being my wife if you love me as you say you do?"
"I have never said I don't like the idea."
She stood up and began to move away, her body shaking. But he came after her and caught her.
Tell me,"
he said, taking hold of her milk-covered hands.
"I will. I will tell you on Sunday," she cried. "And I will give you a complete answer if you will let me go now."
"On Sunday?"
"Yes, on Sunday."
"So, who do you think I've had news about this morning?"
said Farmer Crick, as he sat down to breakfast on Sunday morning and looked around at the men and maids.
"Jack Dollop. He's just married a widow."
Tess's body went still when she heard the name, for she remembered the name of the lover who had wronged his girlfriend.
"So he didn't marry the girl?" said Angel.
"No, sir, he never meant to,"
replied Mr. Crick.
"This widow had money, it seems. But when they married, she lost the £50 a year that she got from her dead husband. She never told Jack this would happen if he married her. She wanted a home and didn't want to lose him. They've been fighting like cat and dog ever since."
Everyone laughed, except for Tess. What was funny to them was terrible to her. The widow had kept a secret from her husband before they married. How could she, Tess, do the same thing to Angel, whom she loved so dearly? She rose quickly from the table, but Angel followed her and put his arms round her.
"It's Sunday, Tessie," he said.
"You will be my wife soon, won't you?"
"No, I cannot. I cannot. For your own good, I say no."
"Tess,
still I say no."
What had made her conscience strong enough to refuse him this time was the story of the widow. But Angel said no more. He walked away, his face confused. One day near the end of September, Farmer Crick needed someone to take some milk to the train station. Angel offered to drive the wagon and asked Tess to go with him. The evening, though sunless, was still warm and Tess's arms were bare. The sky slowly began to get darker, and then it started to softly rain. She sat nearer to him and he put his coat round both of them. As they drove on, an old mansion appeared on their right.
"That is an interesting place. It used to belong to an ancient family called the D'Urbervilles. There is something very sad about the end of an important family, don't you think?"
"Yes," said Tess.
They reached the train station and lifted the cans of milk down from the wagon. Then they climbed back on, turned, and started towards home. It was now very dark, and Tess pulled herself under Angel's warm coat.
"Londoners will drink that milk at their breakfasts tomorrow, won't they?" she said. "Strange people that we have never seen. They will never know that we drove together in the rain so that it would reach them in time. We did not drive just for them, Tess. We drove for ourselves, because of a question I am going to ask you again. Why won't you marry me? My only reason was because... She stopped for a moment. Because I have something to tell you. I want you to know my history. Please, tell me, Tessie. She was silent for a few seconds. Then she said, I was born at Marlott, and I was told that I was very clever at school, but there was trouble in my family. Father drank a lot and didn't work very hard. Poor you. But that's nothing new. And there is something unusual about me. I was... Yes, dearest. I am not a Derbyfield, but a Durbeville. My ancestors were the same family as the one that owned that old mansion we just passed. He turned towards her. And why should I love you less knowing this? I was told by Mr. Crick that you hated old families. Angel laughed. Well, I do hate the idea of an old family name being more important than anything else. I think the only important things are ideas and goodness. But this news is very interesting. My mother will think better of you because of it. Tess, you must spell your name correctly. D'Urberville, from this very day. I like the other way best. But you must, dearest. Now then, Teresa D'Urberville, I have you. Take my name and you will escape yours. You can no longer refuse me. If it is very sure to make you happy to have me as your wife, and you wish to marry me very much. I do, dearest, of course. It is only you wanting me very, very much, and not being able to live without me, that makes me say yes. Yes! Angel held her tightly to him, and for the first time in his life, felt the kisses of a woman who loved him with all her heart. I must write to my mother, she said finally, sitting back a little. Of course. Where does she live? At Marlott, on the far side of the Vale of Blackmoor. Ah, then I have seen you before this summer. Yes, at the May Day dance. But you would not dance with me. Oh, I hope that is not a bad sign for us now.